You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligan, stupid.
Look at this throwback. Well, for those of you listening, you have no idea what I'm talking about. We're back in our home studios. Mike Miguelito blew out the toilets in the studio, so we're not allowed to go. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Literally, there's biohazard tape everywhere.
Yeah. They're still trying to figure out. There's just those guys in those biohazards with those beep, 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 those metal rods.
They're like, it was like a new strain of COVID arrived. Because,
yeah, yeah. They're actually calling the building Lil Wuhan. No, dude, Miguelito is here. He's on mute. We're back in our home studios. Schedules, you know, don't always mix when it's three people. So we're doing this back in our homes. This is cool. This used to be when people would hear barking, but now you might hear a little crying in the background.
Okay.
And that's just Helene remembering she's married to you. No, I'm joking.
or it's just me, you know, having to watch Everton these last few weeks. Okay.
Dude, you might stay up. You can't complain.
Ooh, it's getting dicey, bro.
You did what you needed to do, though. If you win the next match, you're goody.
We are. Yes, yes. I mean, there's still, you know, Leicester still hasn't played yet. We're recording this before the Newcastle-Leicester match. But, you know, we'll get to our anxieties in a little bit. Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Insert.
That's right. We don't got the buttons with us today. So just if you're listening, if you're watching, you know, insert the sounds yourself. Do whatever you got to do. Oh, you know, or
it's the Cooligans, buddy. There you go.
Okay. You know, this guy, we're going to need Mike in post to add, it's the Cooligans, buddy, doing Poppy's voice. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's going to have to do it himself.
Dude, just do it the easy way. Go to that thing where they got Drake rapping other lyrics, right? The AI stuff. You say it in a Spanish accent, but you can't get canceled because then you lay over Poppy's voice.
You have just given me a great idea for a new project that I'm going to give myself, or I'll assign it to Mike. I'll see. But we gotta get Poppy saying a couple lines so that then we can create an AI-generated version of his voice, and then we can say whatever we want in Poppy's voice.
Oh, my God. This is...
Okay,
let's call American Express as Poppy and see if we can get his
We are going to steal his identity, okay, and really use it to our benefit.
I don't see a problem with this. This is just us testing AI.
It's called for content. You could do whatever. There's no real laws.
No.
Officer, I was making content, sir.
Yeah, but we're not going to do anything with the number. We're just going to see if we can get it.
Okay. It's like when they hire hackers to see if there's vulnerabilities in your system.
Right, right. That's what we're doing. If anything, you're welcome, American Express. We found a vulnerability. Where am I? Don't worry about what palatial estate I'm staying in Fiji right now.
But a lot to get to today. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Whether you're listening to this podcast, whether you're watching on YouTube or on DraftKings Network, we out here for you to cover all things footy. We have to, obviously, we got to mourn. What do we got to do? We got to mourn. We got to make fun of. We have to.
Well,
you know,
I feel like I kind of know which one you're going to lean on.
Because
here.
The Premier League is wrapped up in a little bit sooner than I think a lot of people expected. And probably even.
It's like two games left.
saying,
what do you mean sooner than people expected?
They didn't even get to the second game. The penultimate game. It didn't even matter for Manchester City because Arsenal loses to Nottingham Forest. Also a result that doesn't help Everton. So give me more reason to dislike you and your club, okay?
I don't think that would have hurt you either way. They were at, 35 points or at 33?
They were at 34.
They were 34.
They needed the 3 points to for safety. I honestly wanted Nottingham Forest to go down, with all due respect, Nottingham Forest supporters.
Wow.
Because I wanted
It's not enough that I should succeed. I want others to fail.
Because I wanted Leeds and Everton to stay up, and only one of them can stay up now. Now at this point, you know where my loyalties lie.
Right. So it's either you or Tyler Adams and Brendan Aaronson.
I'm out here just stepping on an American flag.
You burning it.
I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with it's just Leeds and whatever. You know how it is.
Right. No, it's got nothing. I don't dislike the country in any way, shape, or form. This one town in England.
This isn't a political statement. What do I look like? Okay.
No. Right. Maybe I shouldn't also be burning these books. Hey, there was a lot. Okay. I just want to start a fire. It's kind of difficult.
But what do you want to tell you? There were two male penguins kissing in it. I don't know. I'm just trying to do what DeSantis is telling me to do.
Get this book out of here. It's like, dude, the cat in the hat. Oh, no. Sounds sus. Who put a little hat on this cat?
why is this cat obsessed with fashion, okay?
Just like my cousin, who's not allowed at Thanksgiving. Okay, well, this turned wild. This is back to this is COVID days right here. That's what these episodes were like when we were in lockdown and going bananas.
So okay, well, Arsenal.
Let's talk Premier League. Yes.
Yeah. They lost, and we knew it was going to be almost impossible for them to win the Premier League given the last few results. But what are we feeling now after watching Manchester City raise the trophy?
I mean, a lot of people want to know who to blame, right? Do you blame Arteta? Do you blame the players? Can you blame it on injuries? I'll tell you who should be blamed. Whoever did these charges against Manchester City, because they haven't lost since. Bro, why didn't you wait till the end of the season, bro?
You gave them 24
games in a row.
Bro, gave them
undefeated.
Way too much confidence. They're like, oh, you about to bring charges? I'm gonna show you. Wow.
Yeah. All of a sudden, we galvanized as a team over something illegal that we all know we did. I think there's just, if anything, thank God for Arsenal. If you look at the table, Manchester City are sitting at 88 points. Arsenal's 81 points. Dude, Newcastle's all the way down at 69 points. Like, if it wasn't for us, this would have been the most boring season of all time.
Possibly.
Arsenal bottling it gave y'all a season's worth of entertainment. And really, that's the way I look at it. As an entertainer, I think I just want them to laugh, whether they're laughing with me or at me. It doesn't matter.
That's right. Arsenal weren't really playing in the Premier League as much as they were, just giving us content for us to talk 100%. About, some fodder. That's all.
Well, you know what? It was cosplay, you know? That's all it was. It was great. Club cosplay.
It was so realistic. I believe that this was a proper football club out there on the pitch.
Maybe it was AI, bro. Maybe ChatGPT was running this thing from the beginning, bro. No one would have suggested that Arsenal were going to finish second. No one would have suggested Arsenal would have been at the top of the league that long. I know this annoys a lot of Arsenal fans that I tend to be positive, right? Because they want everything to be doom and gloom. But you know, if you would have told me at the end of the season, last season, you missed that on top four, what if I tell you you're finishing second, guaranteed Champions League football? I would have been happy with that. I remember when we were hanging out in Orlando, we saw Troops, and he said, bro, if we don't get top four, Arteta's out. Like, I want him gone if we don't get top four. I mean, we were at the top of the league for how long? Should we have won it? Absolutely. Because the part that stings the most is that we slipped up. You know what I mean? It wasn't that they... I mean, they did beat us in both games. They did the double over us. But it wasn't that they beat us to win the league. We slipped up and gave them that opportunity. And then upon losing to them again, you completely opened the doors for what we see today. And then again, we continue to slip up against teams at the bottom of the table. So there's a real mentality issue with this team that needs to be fixed in the offseason. Maybe it's new players. Shaka's leaving. Kind of leaving as a hero.
Leverkusen?
Yeah, Leverkusen. Yeah, Xabi Alonso out there. I don't know if he's going to stay as the manager because I think there was I think Tottenham is considering him to be the new manager, Xabi Alonso. But
they just lost to Roma, in the Europa Conference League.
Who parked that bus? They did the 5-5-0 formation, bro. That shit was rough, bro.
Bro, that's it. Mourinho only. Oh, he's out there to win titles.
Mourinho's like, bro, I just need my check to clear, bro. Beautiful football. Nah, you got places to go for that. So, at the end of the day, what happened with Arsenal absolutely sucks. But also, are we ready to say that Manchester City has kind of made this a one team league? It's all about beating Manchester City. It's what, 4 out of the last 5 years they've won, if I'm not mistaken? Or was it 5 out of the last 6?
Five out of 6. I don't remember. But there's they've won quite a bit. Yeah.
It's to the point now where
they won 3. Obviously, this is their third.
There's a 4 out of the 5. Thank you, Miguelito. There's a very famous a footballer who I had the chance to speak to who said, now the number is 92. You need to get to 92 points in order just to compete with City at the end of the season, right. Which is ridiculous. 92 points in order to win the Premier League. And they're only going to continue to get better, maybe we try again next season. But getting back in the Champions League is a positive. So I guess I could lean on that.
It seems like. Arsenal obviously, they screwed up. There's no way to put it. But look, we have to give flowers to Manchester City and Pep Guardiola. And I really think it is Man City. Obviously, even before Pep was there, they did win titles and they were pretty good. So having a whole bunch of money and having the institution that they have is clearly working. But Pep Guardiola is on another level. He is just, there's few managers I've ever seen that can just immediately make players so good. I mean, I had seen the thread, your coworker, Nico Cantor, about Manchester City and focusing on particular players that Pep is able to bring something out of them that they just probably no other manager in the world can. But players like Nathan Ake, Akanji, John Stones,
who thought and he was done.
So that's the thing, is that the players, the superstars that he brings in, it's like, of course, yeah. Erling Haaland should be doing very well. Kevin De Bruyne should be doing very well.
Jack Grealish
should be doing very well, because the amount of money that they spent should reflect what you're going to, the production that you're going to get on the pitch. So those are not really surprises. But when it's like 9 or 10 other players that are Nathan Ake was at Bournemouth, at Chelsea. I mean, he was he did what he could, but there's something about Pep bringing in those particular players with he can identify a certain mentality, a certain skill set, and he knows that it fits in the system that he's trying to build. And he's even spoken very candidly about, I forgot who asked him. I think it was Gary Neville or Rio Ferdinand. Somebody asked him about, how do you do this for such a long stretch and so consistently, and how do you keep these players engaged? And he's like, I can't keep every player forever. Like, they're going to act up. They're going to become a problem. Jao Cancelo is kind of one of those examples of I can't figure this dude out. So, but it's really, the conversations are now happening about, is Pep Guardiola the greatest manager that we've ever seen in footballing history? And I think, I feel like we're there. I don't know how much more. I guess maybe winning the Champions League.
Only because Sir Alex Ferguson had. Sir Alex Ferguson just got beat by Carlo Ancelotti for the most Champions League games managed. I think it was 149 to 150 or 150, 151. The number's pretty crazy. I mean, people forget Sir Alex Ferguson just had the Premier League basically on lock for a decade. In order to usurp that, you're going to have to win Champions League. But, and look, Nico Cantor said he thought Pep Guardiola was the most revolutionary coach of our time. And I fought back on that because I'm like, well, no. Like, revolutionary is different. You have to change the game. If you're just adapting what other people are doing, no. Are you the best at, instituting this system? Without a shadow of a doubt. There's no one that has taken the thought process of, whether it's Bielsa or Cruyff, that style of football, that total football, and said, here it is. Some would say it's a little bit easier when you got this kind of money. And some would say, yeah, well, they're not spending a lot of money on these players. You know, Manchester United could have afforded all these players. Yeah, but are we ever really talking about the wages these players are on? They're on crazy wages. Maybe, you know, the most he spends is $60 million or $63 million, I think, was Erling Haaland. Outside of Grealish, it was $100 million. But they're all making insane money every week, which other teams can't compete with.
Well, I mean, Tim Howard on the broadcast made the example about...
He said, I'm coming out of retirement. Do you need me, Manchester City, bro?
No, he made the point about Chelsea. Chelsea are a team that have spent a lot of money and brought in all these superstar players, but they can't figure out. They don't have a manager to figure out how to get these pieces to work together. And that's what Pep can do. Even, yes, it doesn't. You can have a lot of money and still have a terrible product on the pitch if the players don't have great chemistry. So that's a testament to his style of football, but then also the man management and things like that. So I think at this point, I mean, I don't whether Pep wins Champions League or not. I mean, I think you're sounding a little ridiculous if you don't consider him the greatest manager ever. I mean, I
don't think he is until he wins that.
Okay,
that's fair. With a team in the Premier League, only because in order for Sir Alex Ferguson to do the treble, which is not easy. Remember how many games are played in the Premier League? They play in the winter. They don't have that massive winter break that like the Bundesliga does. There's a ton there. So for me, he would be right now. He's second, touching just. Nipping at the heels of Sir Alex Ferguson. He wins that Champions League, or if he does a treble this year, then you got to crown him the greatest of all time.
Okay.
Which, you know, there will be an asterisk, though, because of all the legality stuff that's behind there, and also because I'm going to continue to have a microphone.
I'm just going to tattoo an asterisk on my body, okay?
Bro, I'm going to make sure people talk about this. That's all.
You're going to be like, oh, this is Arsenal's title because, you know, it is.
In fact, I go back on what I said previously, which is if you find out that a team had cheated, you shouldn't take away the title away because those 11 players still won that. And then the other team, the team that finished second, gets it. I said, no, that's stupid. I go back on that. And now I think that's actually kind of smart.
Okay. We need to institute fairness. Okay.
Yeah. That's suddenly there's merit to this argument.
Relegation, real quick. I mean, we know there's obviously one.
The bottom of the table is crazy. You made me do the little walk of shame. Christian, talk to me. 17 plays, 33 points.
Bro, I've been on a walk of shame for 37 Premier League matches this season, dog.
What do you know? Really have, bro.
Because Everton went through this last year, and I'm like, oh, whew, that was a close one. Good thing I'm never going to have to go through that again.
We ain't got
to
go through that one more time, and we're back.
Here we are. And, you know, last year, Everton, guaranteed their safety in this weekend, right?
The week before
against Crystal Palace, the Dominic Calvert-Lewin scored a great header. Everybody went nuts, and fans started running onto the pitch and the whole thing. Now, Dominic Calvert-Lewin got injured in the first half of the game against Wolves, and the two games in a row that he leaves before the second half. And yes, it's scary because the game against Wolves, Everton got they got a late goal. Yerry Mina in the 99th minute ties the game for such an important point. But it really the 3 points are what they needed. And Wolves were like, bro, you could if you really want it, we'll give it to you if you really want it.
It seems like this is important.
Yeah. And they didn't want it, bro. I mean, you saw the bigger issue in that game in particular was, players like Doucouré. They were players afraid to lose rather than having the courage to win. You just saw little mistakes, poor touches, poor giveaways of just like the extra pass that wasn't necessary. So they were scared to lose. Frustrating game for Everton and probably a lot of Everton fans. But then Leeds loses to West Ham. Up the Hammers. Let's go.
Yeah, you've been a West Ham fan your whole damn life. I remember.
Desde la cuna. All right. Leeds, they're leading in that game 1-0. And then they end up losing 3-1. And more than anything, I would say the biggest highlight of that game is watching Sam Allardyce in the technical area, because you know how much money he gets if he keeps the team up. So,
bro, this is the 2.5. 2.5 million pounds.
When they make
bro.
A mistake, he's just like, "Yo, why you getting in my bag, bro? Why you messing with my bag?"
I told you in training, I don't F with your money. Don't you dare F with my money.
So you can. There's so much context to his frustration. Yes. And so much going on. His
wife is just on some house design website, just deleting a bathroom, putting the bathroom back on, you know?
Wait, I just wanted to read this, and I don't know the context of it, but our producer just said, he says, not sure if you saw the tweet, but he found $5 on, not American dollars, I assume.
£5. £5. A fiver.
What's this American money doing here? £5 on the sideline and pretended to hand it to the fourth official. Meaning, like, he actually handed it to him and put it in his hand? Or, okay, wow, I did not see that. That's hilarious. Who put that money there? That's
look at this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I also just found $5, officer, and here you go. I think that speeding ticket will go away quite nicely now, don't you?
Is that all it takes to stay in the Prem nowadays?
Bro, I mean, Sam Allardyce has to take all of the players out for a hell of a dinner if he gets his $2.5 million, no?
Yeah, he owes them quite a bit. But Leeds look... these look finished, man. They just like...
They are done.
I mean, I know... They are done. I'm talking about Everton and how bad they've been, but Leeds are just like... Don't have... They're not playing with much heart or spirit. And it's... To me, it's more their defenders. They have just some of the worst defenders just in the Premier League. They look so, so bad. So, look. I mean, it's going to... It's going to be Everton, Leicester, or Leeds. It's looking like who do Everton play in their last game? I don't remember.
They play Bournemouth.
Bournemouth. So Bournemouth is already up. Who do Leeds and Leicester play?
Leeds plays Tottenham. Leicester plays Newcastle.
But that's not their last game. That's the Leicester's next game.
No, Leicester has two matches.
Yeah.
So they've got Newcastle and Liverpool.
So, yeah, you can't. Wait. You can't.
No, sorry. No, that's a club friendly. It's Newcastle, away Newcastle, and West Ham.
Okay. So Everton has their fate in their hands. Everton wins against Bournemouth. It's all set. If they draw and Leeds win, Leeds are up. And vice versa, and then it'll obviously be dependent on this result against Newcastle. But it's feeling like Everton probably has the best opportunity here out of the three clubs. So,
are you happy though they get saved? I mean, there's so much work to do. I did want to while you contemplate what a hellish summer you're going to have as an Everton fan, I do want to bring up that Weston McKennie has announced that he will leave, or maybe it's rumors that he will leave Leeds at the end. There was a thought that he wanted to stay at Leeds when he first got there. He enjoyed being there, but apparently there were promises that were not kept, as far as the best I've been able to find out. I have not been able to find out what those promises are, but he might be going back to Juventus, which he is on loan from Juventus, and I think Juventus wants him back.
You heard the rumor. I heard the rumor Brighton is interested in him.
I've heard Brighton is as well, which would be huge for him to play with De Zerbi. He gets into Europa, which is nice to have him back in European competition. I don't know. The fact that he wants to leave Leeds, it's great because it looks like Leeds will be playing in the Championship. But there was this odd feeling I had that, like, oh, maybe it'll be good for him to go into the Championship and come back up to the Premier League with a team. But then that brings into question, like, if Leeds gets relegated, I can't imagine Jack Harrison stays. Tyler Adams definitely going to get bought by somebody.
Yeah, I don't know if what players have like relegation clauses or whatever. But yeah, I mean, these are the players: Jack Harrison, Brendan Aaronson, Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie.
I can't imagine Brendan Aaronson's going to. No one's going to come in for him. He had a terrible second half of the season.
So for me, that's how I feel about Brendan Aaronson. I think Brendan Aaronson in the Championship, I think that would be great for his development and for his career. He'll get a lot more minutes, but there is going to be a little bit of that like fire sale of you know, players or whenever any team gets relegated. But it's such a disappointment. I really, you know, Leeds have had such a, you know, odd season, and it just, you know, I wanted Jesse Marsh to succeed. I wanted Tyler Adams, all the American players to succeed there. And they just couldn't, they couldn't figure it out. I think the injury to Rodrigo was brutal. And I think that's what really lost them a lot of points. He was gone for a lot of the season. And then when they got rid of, who's the guy that went to Barcelona? What am I forgetting?
Rafinha.
Rafinha. They just couldn't replace a player like that. Yeah. And then, so it's unfortunate. And, you know, I still feel for Jesse Marsh because I think, you know, I don't think they should have got rid of him. But look, I mean, if the result is that they got relegated, then they were right eventually. So ultimately they were right. Okay. I want to go on and we have to talk about Bundesliga a little bit because...
But first, why don't we chill a little bit?
We should chill a little bit.
I think we should chill.
Sometimes you just remind me to chill sometimes. And it's like,
Is it my casual style?
Okay? Your energy, your vibes. It's just like... Your vibes are like, bro, you're too serious. Okay?
Bro. All right? Stop taking everything so serious. Yo, put the baby down on the road. Someone will take care of your baby, bro.
I was taking the baby to the car, but I was also... I had a trash bag in my other hand, so I had the car seat and a bag of trash, and I'm walking to the pile of garbage, and I'm like, I better not throw away the wrong one, all right?
Yeah. You know, I found a pair of socks in my garbage can in the bathroom next to where my laundry is. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I see what happened here. Good thing I don't have a baby.
Okay, and that's why, you know, what always keeps me chill is a nice... can of ice cold Coors Light. Okay?
What a segue. That transition. Beautiful. I agree. Listen, well, you know, you and I talk about this all the time. When we're in the studio, you got to be on to do a show, especially me. I've been up since 3 a.m, right? I did one show, then I come into the studio. You got to be high energy, fucking on. Boom, 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 right? Mm-hmm. And then as soon as the show's done, Miguelito yells rap. You and I, we kick our feet up. You know what I mean? We sit on them couches you could see in the background. And all you hear is, we don't even want to talk to each other about this sport. Sometimes there's a game on after we've done the show. We pop a couple of nice cold Coors Lights and boom, we goody. Because here's the thing about Coors Light. You don't have to guess whether it's cold or whether it's ready to go. It tells you. Just like when the lights turn on and, you know, Miguelito yells action, you know, like an old timey movie director, you know, we're ready to go. He knows we're ready to go. We should get little blue mountains on us, just like them cans, so everyone knows we're ready to go. Because I know when them cans are ready to drink.
All right, that's okay. That's a plan for Coors Light. Get temporary tattoos that change color when you're chilling out. Okay,
not bad.
Nice plan. So get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right.
Let's go.
Bundesliga. All right. It's looking like we won't have the same champion year after year. We've had essentially a decade of the same winner. We were talking about one-team leagues. And Bayern Munich slipped up, lost to RB Leipzig. And
RB Leipzig bodied them is really what happened.
Right. And now Borussia Dortmund have an opportunity. They won their game against Augsburg, and now they have a chance to win the Bundesliga title for the first time in a very, very long time. Do we think Bortman?
that's who's winning this league, dude. Bortman again, the best team in Glengola.
They're at the top of the table always. Borussia Dortmund, can they hold on and win? Who's their final game against, by the way?
Borussia Dortmund will be playing against Mainz in ninth place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've just suffered their fourth loss in a row. They're not necessarily in the greatest of upswings. But Bayern Munich, who is a much better team right now than Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund was playing against a 10-man Augsburg, which is a terrible team, not getting relegated, but pretty close to it in 14th. No disrespect, Christian. Doesn't just because you're close to relegation doesn't make you a terrible team. But
we just like to playing... edge. We like to edge the relegation.
Yeah,
zone,
yeah, yeah. All right? Well, let me tell you, Augsburg is basically staying. Because, dude, even down to 10 men, they still had chances. If you look at the result, you're going to say, what was it? I think it was 3-0. If you look at the result, yeah, it was 3-0. You're going to say, oh, Borussia Dortmund took care easy. Nah, man. There were moments where I'm like, how are you making this a game, bro?
Yeah.
Augsburg stinks, and they've lost the player. Yeah. What are you doing? So shouts to Borussia Dortmund for at least figuring out a way to get this done. They've won 4 out of their last 5, and they're undefeated in their last 5 because that was a draw, which I think, I can't remember the name of the game. I believe it was against Union Berlin. No, it was against Bochum. VfL Bochum. That was the run they've had. It makes me feel like they should win this league. They're both on 33 games played. Borussia Dortmund currently up top with 70 points. Bayern Munich with 68. But a draw, you're thinking, well, that's 2 points, a draw. No, because the goal differential kind of brazy. Bayern Munich has a goal differential of 53. Mm. And Borussia Dortmund has 39, which 39 is great. That's almost double third place RB Leipzig. But Bayern Munich is on one. They're 53. So you need to win out. If you win, it's yours.
Yeah.
So they're going to go into this game against Mainz knowing that if you win, the trophy's Mainz, dude. It's yours. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I just want to point out that Borussia Dortmund have a chance to win the title on the same year that we go to Dortmund to watch a game. Okay, so just saying.
Coincidence? I think not.
Okay, and you know, the last time we went to Germany and we went to see Bayern, they won the league. Coincidence?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You decide.
You decide. But I feel like that's it. The evidence is kind of insurmountable, bro. You can't. We're proving just the fact that you need the Cooligans in your stadium. All right.
And if you're wondering, by the way, Dortmund, I'm thinking of the way you said it. Dortmund haven't lost to Mainz in their last 6 matches. So,
right. Yeah. And I think
it seems like a win-win. And it's back in Westfalenstadion. I can't remember what the actual
Signal Iduna
Park. So
what is this show,
feels
man?
Like, I mean, if you came here for actual facts, you're wrong. Every once in a while, I'll make a mistake on the morning show and they'll be like, Alexis, how did you get that wrong? And I'm like, you know who you hired.
It's on you.
Don't get mad at me for calling him Ibuna. I was close and that's enough. That's on you. We have to talk about Thomas Tuchel though.
Yeah, man.
Because he came in to save this. Bro. Julian Nagelsmann has just got his feet up on his skateboard, just relaxing, drinking a couple Coors Light, watching this team completely crumble.
Yeah, it's been a look. He got sacked at Chelsea. He got the job at Bayern when it didn't really make sense, right? Bayern were not in any bad situation. They had just won their Champions League tie. And I think the mentality was like, he's a good manager. We can't leave him on the market for too long. It's like when a really attractive girl breaks up with a guy and everybody's like, we got to get in here because who knows?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody's going to
scoop
her up. You
leave your family because Kim Kardashian is single again.
Yeah. Everybody's trying to scoop her up. And that's who Thomas Tuchel is. But I think it's a will prove to be a mistake, right? From on Bayern's end to not show any loyalty to your manager that is doing pretty well. I mean, he wasn't crushing the you know, Dortmund or crushing the second place team in Bundesliga like they usually do. But it just seemed like such a rash decision. And part of
this is bad management, because Tuchel's not a bad manager, but you had Julian Nagelsmann, who was young.
Yeah.
You know, seemed to be on the come up, making some good decisions. The idea that he dressed a little bit too immature, or the idea that, you know, he rode a skateboard or a motorcycle to work and that upset you. What you want? You want someone to drive a wagon? You know?
Stop bringing that wagon around, Julian.
Damn, bro. What you want? You want someone to, you know, who drives a Ford Taurus to be your manager? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't agree. And I think this is another situation where, you know, we've spoken to Bundesliga, like, execs and people, and you're probably wondering, why were they talking to you? I'm like, this is how desperate they are to win over the American market. That they said, let's ask these two idiots. Maybe a gem will drop out of the stupidity that comes out of their mouth.
Well, you know what? We got to applaud them for taking the risk, all right? They are brave, all right?
Yo, they had to sit with us for like 2 hours once. But one of the things that you and I kept talking about is like, brothers, unless you're German or happen to have been in Germany, there's really no reason for you to connect to these teams. Everything feels so stodgy and very direct. And this feels like this is why you love it. It feels like an Excel spreadsheet. You know what I mean? Look at Serie A. Serie A's all over the place. They got people being, you know, people being charged, you know, points are being taken away, sent back. You got fans on against fences. Like, there's mayhem there. Bundesliga, you know, feels like, it's run by a bunch of the kids who did extra credit.
It's efficient.
You know?
It's efficient. I guess the point you're making is like, break more rules and laws. I mean, and that will lead to
TV novela a little bit.
What is this argument that you're making exactly?
You get what I'm saying though. Like, it feels
stodgy.
It feels like it's
stodgy's not the word I'd use.
It's a lack of creativity It's not intensity. There's no variables. You already know. Like, this is good for the league. Bayern losing is good for the league.
I agree. But I think the main – look, and we've been to Germany, you know, 2 times, and we've gone to 4 matches while we've been there. We have had conversations with a lot of directors and executives who sort of explained the business end of Bundesliga to us. And we've also, you know, spoken to, like, from the fan perspective and the ultras and things like that. And there is a thing. Look, you know, the 50+1 rule kind of governs how erratic it can get. And that's the reason it's not crazy and super unpredictable is kind of because of this, like, you know, I mean, what would be the word? Just like a fervent, just dedication to their principles. They refuse to budge from, like, they don't want a bunch of money coming in from owners that don't care about the club. The fans like the way they hate that Bayern always wins. Yes, but Bayern has just done it better than everyone else. Everyone, essentially, it's a very, you know, socialist way of running everything. Where,
sure, I don't disagree with that. What I'm saying is, even on the pitch, it's boring because it's almost predictable. It's like everyone is following the rules exactly. You know, there's not a Julian Nagelsmann gave us something different. You know, he showed up on a motorcycle, and we're like, well, there's something. The guy's trying.
Well, I get that. I mean, there's a difference between the storylines and wackiness and what happens on the actual pitch.
There's nothing, bro.
Bayern are just good. I mean, why? I mean, Europe.
Forget that. The fact that Bayern keeps winning is absolutely an issue. But for me, it's like, look, if you're going to have a league where all the signage is in German, the chants are in German, we don't understand it. You know, the team names are 75 consonants long with 3 vowels. You know, if you're going to be that
right.
league, you've got to do something else, you know? And we should talk about Serie A.
Yeah.
Kind of feels like they're back, bro. They were in the mud for many, many years. And now it feels like they're starting to come back. And they're not doing anything incredible, but there's always a storyline. Napoli winning for the first time in 30-plus years. The scenes around that, you know, Juventus getting docked points, giving the points back, lawsuits. You know, how many three Italian teams having the potential to be in the final? You know, it almost was a lock that an Italian team was going to win. Now, not so much, but it was almost a lock. Like, these are the things that are. And it's not just about success, because Bayern, or at the very least, Bundesliga has success. It's about the storylines, the reason to want to tune in, the yo, did you hear? Ain't no yo, did you hear? Yo, did you hear? You know, Bundesliga's gates are up 0.3% this year. That's not excitement, bro. Don't nobody give a damn. If what you talk about in a business meeting isn't going to get people to watch a league, and I get that there's Bundesliga fans that are upset, because if you're a diehard, you know those storylines. You know the excitement. You can follow it. I've had to follow it because of this morning show. So there is a lot of excitement. But what I'm saying is, why do you think those storylines don't bubble to the top? Why do you think, like, Premier League has so much more attention to it? It's a little easier. Everyone speaks English. All the things are in English. So other than a few U's getting thrown into words where they don't belong.
The toxicity of English media also helps quite a bit. It is the machine that churns interest into this particular product. So
I had a funny back and forth with Joe Hart, and the news was like, Joe Hart slapped down by American comedian. I'm like, whoa!
Bro.
I mean, they know how to sensationalize
something.
Dude,
just like when we interviewed Damari Gray, it was like, I had a nice, cordial, fun conversation, a lot of jokes.
If we were in the same room, we would have been high-fiving the whole time. It was fun.
The Liverpool Echo was like, Damari Gray wants to murder Arsenal, you know? Yeah. It's like, all right, that's not exactly what he said.
Damari Gray wishes he was in America so he could use a gun during Arsenal game. You're like, no, he didn't say that at all.
Damari Gray brings actual cannon to Arsenal match.
Yeah.
Like, all right. I get it. I mean, it works, right? It's essentially like a big reality show.
But there's something like German, right? We make fun of Germany for not even having like sarcasm, right? Like, they don't have sarcasm. They don't like American humor. They're like, you just said something that is not real. That doesn't make it funny. There was actually 48 peanuts on the floor, not 1,000. And you're like, yeah, I get it. Right, you know, right. Like, they're very by the book. And to some degree, their league kind of carries that. Even when we've had conversations about what would make it more exciting, we're like, yo, why don't we do this? And they're like, oh, we can't do that. That would have to get approved by like 58 people. And right now they're like, it's 42. You know, I get it, guys. Like, you get the point I'm making. I think that bleeds over to the league itself. And I think Borussia Dortmund winning creates... It'd be better if, like, Freiburg or Union Berlin had won. Just someone completely out of nowhere. Like, Leicester City's it. You know what I mean? It would have been cool. But Dortmund beating Bayern, now there's drama. Build on this drama. I beg of you guys. You know?
Yeah.
Please.
I hope the same thing. I think the thing that you're asking for is such a change to the fundamental existence of what it means to be German, that it's going to be a little bit difficult to change.
There is one option, though, and Miguelito just sent this to us. Could you imagine, by the way, again, Miguel said this, Mike said this, not us. Could you imagine the absolute mayhem in RB Leipzig had won this league?
Oh, yeah. No, that would be my favorite thing ever.
Yeah. The mayhem that would cause. The parade would be, they'd have to put fencing around the parade to stop fans from every other team, first division, second division, third division, bubbly teams,
just great,
from trying to attack this
parade. Literally create a border around Leipzig itself.
They should build a wall around the eastern part of Germany just to protect Leipzig. During their parade. I don't think they've ever done that before.
No, they haven't tried. They should give it a shot. Nah. Okay.
Get around to it. Again, just for the parade. But make it really thick and have guards around it.
Okay. So we're talking about all these teams in these Europe finals. Obviously, Inter, Roma, the Serie A teams. Inter, Roma, and Fiorentina. Who's actually... Who's winning these finals? Who do you think? I mean, I think we can both say Inter.
Tough.
Probably
doesn't. Let's start with Champions League. Let's start at the top. Manchester City, an absolute buzzsaw of a team, versus Inter Milan. If we could be honest, kind of backed into this final. I'm not going to put, you know, maybe there's a chance that they kind of over-celebrated the league. You know, maybe there's a chance that, you know, you know, Pep Guardiola overthinks it and overcoaches and overtinkers with the team. And they don't come out, and you know, Inter sort of catches them on a couple counters, but that looks like, I mean, I would say it's 95% sure that the you know, Manchester City, at least on paper, should win. And yeah, Mike also reminded us that they have the FA Cup final, which might be, there's a little serendipity there. There's a little bit of wild kismet. You know, Manchester United fans, the one thing they're able to hold over Manchester City fans is the treble. Oh, well, we did the treble. We did the treble. They're up for a treble this year.
They got one out of three out of the way.
The only team that can stop them if they win the Champions League final is Manchester United. While that's, like, if you're a Manchester United fan, you probably have, like, a lot of hope in that. Imagine the opposite happens, and they win the treble because they beat Manchester United. That's basically the end of an Avengers movie.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, even in that FA Cup final, I mean, there's no way you can't favor Manchester City.
Has to.
But then the Europa League and Europa Cup.
So, wait, who do you think is winning Champions League?
I mean, Man City. I mean, that's not even worth a conversation.
Okay.
Look.
So, Europa. Europa is.
Roma, West Ham.
Roma, West. No, conference.
Sorry. Roma. Who's Roma playing against? Sevilla. Sorry.
It's Fiorentina versus Roma's playing Sevilla.
Yeah.
This is Europa. Sevilla is the Real Madrid of the Europa. This is their competition. I doubt they're going to lose this.
Yeah, their last who they beat in the semifinal? What was
Basel? Was it not Basel?
No. What am I? I don't remember. Anyway,
Mike just put no.
It was just a as opposed to telling us who it was. A great game that they came. Juve. There it is.
Juve. Oh, that's right. They beat Juve.
Yeah, that was a great game. A great comeback. Even when Juve was leading in that game, or they drew. I don't remember exactly what happened, but. It was a very entertaining game.
The final was 2-1 Sevilla.
Okay.
Sevilla making an incredible comeback at home.
Sevilla and Roma. This is a really good matchup, right? Because I believe Jose Mourinho has never lost a final, a European final, to my knowledge. And and Sevilla is...
I believe this is his fourth European final as well.
And Sevilla is just...
Fifth European final.
Are the kings of Europa League, which is... It's also such a strange... Sevilla is, they've won Europa League how many times? Nine times? Seven times? Something like that?
It's almost like, I can't believe this is the thing you're known for. You know what I mean?
You're the best second place team in Europe or something like
that. But it's still a final.
It's still, I know. The pressure is clearly there. But it's such a strange thing with Sevilla because it's like, this is your bar. This is your peak. This is how good you are, and when they qualify, and when they play in Champions League for winning Europa League, it's just like, what is this team doing? Like, it's just like, you're that far off. The winners of the Europa League can't even get out of the group stage of Champions League.
I mean, the investment gap is huge, and a team like Sevilla. I mean, look at the actual squad they have. And you'll start to be able to piece together why they don't necessarily get the chance to win Champions League, but they play really well in this competition. Let's go to their last match. Let's see here. Let's go to the one against Juventus. They had that kid Gil, who I believe is either Brian Gil, who I believe he was at Tottenham, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know if he's... He's back from loan at Tottenham.
But they have
after this, so he's on loan. Hold on, your starting winger is on loan.
The starting what?
the kid loves hip hop, but he doesn't have the look. You know what I mean? Lucas Ocampos, who's 28 years old, who's played incredible in this competition, right? He's bounced around between Ajax and Marseille. Had a cup of coffee. At Milan, didn't do well at Genoa, right? Yeah, Genoa. I mean, these aren't superstar clubs that we're talking about.
Right, but they had obviously the goalkeeper, the Moroccan goalkeeper, Bonu, and then
who's from Montreal, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He could have played for the Canadian national team.
Interesting,
but chose Morocco.
But then the Al-Younoussi, right? I think it's the striker. Also Moroccan, but so when you see the Moroccan, we saw the Morocco at the World Cup and the heart.
No, and Nasiri.
And Nasiri, okay. They
El Yunusi is Southampton.
You see that kind of energy and heart that they play with. That's I feel like that's why that carries over a lot in Sevilla and the way they play.
Yeah, they don't give. They're not going to go away.
Also,
they don't give up until the final.
Eric
whistle,
Lamella.
Great,
Eric but, Lamella at Sevilla looks like a damn like superstar,
I
bro.
Mean, yeah, but so every Tottenham player looks better when they leave Tottenham. Look at Luka Modric, bro. that place is cursed, dude. It's like how did you build a stadium in England on top of a Native American burial ground? Like that place is cursed. But like even Rakitic, a lot of people might remember from his previous career or his previous time in Barcelona. He went Sevilla, Barcelona, back to Sevilla. He's back at Sevilla, yeah. And the kid is playing incredible. But that's their best player is a guy who was essentially a Barcelona reject. They're picking and choosing what's available to them. They're not a team that go out and buy and build players. So how do they compete with Champions League?
Yeah.
This is their perfect competition.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I mean, if it works for them, you saw the fans even after beating Juve. They were quite happy. Yeah, I mean, look, if it brings them a lot of pride. It's a
European final. It's a European final. What would you do if Everton won the Europa Conference League? You'd be out there with your shirt
if they
off.
Qualified for the Europa Conference League, bro. I'm shirtless celebrating through the streets, man. That's something to be happy about. Okay, we want to wrap up with a couple, just some MLS news and some a couple of the matches, a couple of things. San Diego gets announced as the new club for the 30th club.
Does it bother you a little bit that this is that Landon Donovan owns a team in San Diego called the Loyal, and MLS is being anything but by giving a team when their MVP trophy is named the Landon Donovan MVP trophy, quite possibly the greatest home player, the greatest American to ever play in your league is Landon Donovan. And now his investment in the team there is essentially gone to shit because you're giving, you know, this conservative dude from England who I said they should name the team the Tories, and I was told by CBS that no, we shouldn't say that on air. the San Diego Tories.
Okay.
But doesn't this feel a little weird to you?
Does it bother me?
The way
it
sort of played out?
You asked me, does it bother me a little? It bothers me a whole lot. I mean, this is I'm not gonna say backstab, but Landon.
It feels a little. There's a little.
Landon is plugged in and connected to a lot of MLS folks. That I'm sure he started the Loyal with the intention of getting a group together to eventually, build a strong brand in San Diego and then hopefully get into Major League Soccer. So you know those conversations happen. You know he's been trying.
Even if that wasn't the plan, that was at least a consideration for investing in this team.
Without a doubt. But I think he has mentioned that in the past to some degree. So, yeah, this feels... It's going to feel awkward and weird. And we've seen San Diego Loyal have put out statements and tweets and they've been very cordial. They've said like, hey, we're supporting this this new group involved in bringing a Major League Soccer team to San Diego. And you could tell they were typing it with like some anger and just like, okay.
They were like, bink, bink, bink as they were typing it.
So, that is a... whether it's wrong or right, it's like business, right? I mean, I don't know. You know, we can be frustrated about it, but when somebody's willing to pay $500 million to add a team, it's like, yo,
which is
all right.
The next point I wanted to bring up.
My ears are quite open. I'm interested in what you have to say, sir.
Yeah, like yo, bro. If I don't know who, I'm just trying to think of someone who's not that toxic, but maybe a little bit. Wanted to be the third cooler, and we'd be like, no. They're like, here's $500 million. We're like, welcome through the door of Blanco.
Man, what, Tristan Thompson? Yeah, thank you. I didn't even know you were really into soccer like that.
Bro, this could be your next baby right here. Is helping us build this.
We're gonna make this work somehow.
Jesus, Mike said Anne Hathaway. Just me. Actually, bro, I saw the photos of her, but I'm like, okay, I'm seeing some personality in the eyes now. You know?
But you were soulless beforehand? What happened?
Yeah, that was my point. Somebody said I was being like Messiah. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm actually treating her with the same level of respect as everyone else. And saying, yo, she's
a great actress.
I hate Anne Hathaway as much as I hate some men. Okay? Where's the misogyny?
Bro, how many people? I've called an entire league boring just now. You think I don't give it to everyone equal, bro? Anne Hathaway, ride a skateboard to Bayern Munich. No, but look, the point I want to make is, yes, this feels really disrespectful. I get why you do it, though. 500 million, I agree with you. 500 million gets presented to you. You're like, yo, you call everybody like, yo, we on the up. Everyone except Landon Donovan. We eating good tonight. But here's the problem. How many teams does MLS have now?
We're at what? 28, 29, 28?
Right. So there's 15 and 14, mm-hmm. right? So almost 30. We're at 29. 30th is announced, right, with San Diego. You just got 500 million. NYCFC paid 100 million
yeah.
or 115 million for theirs. You're now at $500,000 per team. Bro, you got to get to like 40 teams. You know what I mean?
No.
The investment's only going to get bigger the closer we get to the World Cup.
And they've asked Don Garber that exact question, like how many can we keep going? He hasn't said that there's going to be more than 30. But in this world where we live in, where especially a lot of companies, tech companies, it's not about making money necessarily. It's about growth. It's always about growth, like for the shareholders.
Yeah.
We're
not profitable yet, but where the asset is growing.
Right. And that seems to be what Major League Soccer is kind of doing. But really, and maybe some would argue that relegation would hurt that growth, but there's no other way to grow this sport. I mean, we've said this so many other times. It's like the next step has to be promotion relegation because there's nothing else. There's nothing else you can do. There's nothing else that's going
to
intrigue into the product more than the possibility of losing your team and dropping to a lower league.
It's just never going to happen.
I don't know
why we keep.
But they're going to hit this wall over and over of like, how do we grow? How do we grow?
Do you honestly think they're stopping at 30? They can't.
They can't. No, there's no way.
They're getting $500,000.
Why stop?
I mean, the markets aren't even that big. If somebody wants to give you half a billion, I mean.
I mean, look.
$500 million for Sacramento, you take that money. You're like, yo, now we got this is your 38th team. Dude, we'll figure it out. 15 teams from each conference get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we have a 2.5 month long playoff.
Like, who is it that is involved? Miguel Cabrera? That is in
No, who's the dude from the Padres? I don't know why I said
not
that.
Miguel Cabrera. What's his name? There's somebody, a baseball player that's involved in the ownership. Manny Machado.
Manny Machado.
This is, yeah.
What nationality is he?
He's Venezuelan.
What's Manny Machado?
I think he's Venezuelan, if I'm not mistaken. No.
Let's find this out.
Oh, he's American. Oh, boy.
No, yeah, but you know what I mean. Shut up, Mike. Oh, he's Cuban.
No.
I think so. He's from Miami. He's Puerto Rican, bro. Yo, we got a Boricua owner of a team, bro.
All right, you love to see it. In general,
he's Dominican.
Is he?
I looked it up. He's Dominican. A Dominican owns a soccer team, bro. Let's go. From Miami. He grew up in Hialeah. He's basically the baby of this show.
Okay. But the fact that there's a lot of athletes getting involved in soccer now, I mean, it just shows like everybody's feeling like, all right, this is about to pop. This is the next thing. Because of the 2026 World Cup, this is an asset that will only increase in value. Everybody needs to get in now. Major League Soccer is you know, Bitcoin, bro, like 15 years ago. So that's where everybody...
Is it, though? Because remember, now they're giving away a month free of the streaming, which is usually not a good sign.
I mean, it is what it is.
When you got freestylers talking about, you know, doing keepy-uppies on their backs while they're talking about getting a free month like, comment, and subscribe, bro, that's not a good look.
There's some stand-up shows I do, and, you know, I don't ask how the people got in there. I'm just like, yo, I'm glad you're here. I could tell you some jokes, all right? I'm not asking all these questions.
But, hey, what I'm saying is, if you have a line out the door trying to get in your comedy right. show, that's great. If you got to get out there and be like, comedy, free comedy, doesn't mean it's going to be a bad show. I'm just saying, you're not really getting the name out there as effective bro, as some others.
You see the $500 million? I don't know. I'm not worried about a couple free season passes, bro.
Maybe use some of that for promotion. You know what I mean?
That's on Apple. Apple, figure that out, okay? I get that.
Don Garber, get on a motorcycle, dude.
A wild weekend in Major League Soccer. Just a couple crazy results. I don't know if it has a name.
You're really gonna read?
No,
the
just
points?
A couple derbies.
Guess what? It's not Heineken Rivalry Week anymore.
No, it's just a rivalry day. St. Louis.
You know, it's the Coors Light. It's the Coors Light DraftKings Rivalry Saturday.
Okay, we rebranded it. It's working. The result, St. Louis beats Sporting Kansas City 4-0, and Sporting Kansas City, you know, looking like Sporting Kansas City that we are used to seeing. We thought
there was a chance. Two wins in a row. We're like, yo, they back. Yeah. And no, they're not.
I think part of it, I don't remember the goalkeeper's name that they have, but Timmy Lee was injured, and there were probably like two goals that the replacement goalkeeper probably could have stopped, but he didn't do much with. The other Seattle lost to who? Who did Seattle? What am I looking at?
Where are you?
I'm looking at
Seattle is in second place. They lost to Vancouver.
Yeesh. They lost to Sporting Kansas City. So they just haven't had.
That's two losses in a row, and now they play the Red Bulls, who are on two wins in a row.
Right. So the
two wins and a draw.
Right. Those were the notable ones, at least for me. The other the Hell is Real match was incredible.
Cincy looked incredible. Cincinnati
definitely did kind of, at least for me, kind of just reinforce or just remind everybody like they are legit. They deserve to be in the top of the Supporter Shield standings. For them to, they had a 2-0.
Are they a better team than LAFC though?
No, probably not. No. But I guess
even though they're 5 points ahead, yeah, LAFC still feels like the better
team. And LAFC is focusing on CCL, you know that for sure. So, but I think a big win, even though after giving up the lead, or at least you know the game, the Columbus tied the game, and to end up winning, and they have. Brendan Vazquez has been spectacular. Lucho Costa has been great.
Incredible.
But then, is it the left back or the left winger, Barreal? I forgot. I think that's his name. He's great. He's great. It's just like they've just been really, really. You know, they've been a punching bag or a punchline the last couple of years. I think they finished in last place 3 years in a row when they got into the league.
Yeah,
and to go from that to this is really, really impressive.
A lot of the credit got to go to Matt Miazga too, man. He's really solidified that back line.
Sure. I mean, I guess when you get rid of Jeff Cameron, you get rid of a lot of other issues that you have.
Well, some would say you didn't really. It's a like kind of exchange from what I've heard.
Oh, okay. All right. The other one, Philadelphia beat New England, and I thought that was another big win. But Austin won against Toronto. And Which, of course, they did. But now at this point, and this is where I want to end, how long does Bob Bradley have?
Not much. This is getting crazy. He got heated seats. He got heated coaching seats. It's getting hot, bro.
Right, it is. He has a like level 3, bro. Like it's hot. It's really getting hot under there.
He's got the second most expensive player in the league in Insigne, Shaqiri being the first.
I know.
Both of them being in the mud right now.
Insigne, I think, is dealing with an injury. He didn't travel with the team.
No.
But it just seems like just no excuse. They are terrible. I mean, we have teams like LA Galaxy, which are just an absolute nightmare. But Toronto is a team that has so many good players, including Bernardeschi, and they're still so, so bad. So I don't know. How many more games?
He's not making it to All-Star.
Okay. All right. So that's just like about maybe two or three.
They got to go on a tear.
So it's looking like we'll keep an eye on that and see how long he lasts over there. All right. Let us wrap up. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody, to another episode of The Cooligans. We appreciate you. Make sure you follow us on all social channels at Soccer Cooligans. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you feel like you're in the mood to do that. That would be a great thing to do. You can join the Patreon, as always, patreon.com/soccercooligans for a bunch of exclusive content. And we will be back Thursday evening with a bunch of more soccer chat. Okay, it'll be a lot of fun. Okay, it feels like The View, but about soccer. You know how it is.
Yeah.
All right,
that's a great marketing for our show.
Okay, I'm trying to. Our demographic should really shift to females 30 to 60. Okay, we're really
yeah. We're gonna talk about me and Christian being in menopause. Turn the air conditioner on. Who told you to put that air conditioner on, Mike? Shut it off.
Y'all, the absolute best. We'll see you in a couple of days. Peace, everybody.
Love you guys.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.